Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
As you will have heard earlier on, Aer Lingus had something of a nightmare this weekend with multiple flight cancellations thanks to what they describe as an IT outage. We'll find out in a minute from Owen Curry what happened. But first, we have one of many angry passengers to tell their story of their flight cancellation experience. We're going to talk to Clive. Clive is originally from the UK. He's been living in California for many years. He travelled to Ireland for a conference. Conference went well, and then on Saturday, he attempted to travel back to California. He returned to Dublin Airport and began the process of checking in, or trying to check in, for his flight to LA. What happened next, Clive?
Good morning. Well, I think a lot of people have heard the mayhem. After 5 hours in a queue and being sort of outside in the sunshine, beautiful sunshine, but in a queue at the airport, we got told that our flights were cancelled, and not just once, but four times, and got told to leave the airport with no assistance at all. And with everyone trying to book hotels at the same time and not having any feedback now for so long. I'm now actually back in the airport, and comically, Aer Lingus's first communication back to one of what sounds like a ridiculous number, but over 20 messages, direct messages, has just happened. However, it is another automated, what looks like another automated message, and they have not replied to another message after that. So, yeah, it's been an experience.
So you were 5 hours outside in the queue. You say that they told you flights cancelled, go home. How did you get that message? Was that through the website? Was that social media? Was that directly from a person?
Directly from four airline staff at Aer Lingus. And I made sure to confirm, and a whole bunch of us outside were receiving messages from the main airport as well. So the airport was saying conflicting things, and we obviously wanted to board the plane. They wanted to disperse the crowds, and everything was really well mannered. I was really surprised. Everyone was in really good spirits. We weren't singing songs out there together, but lots of people enjoying the sunshine together, as I said, and Aer Lingus staff were nice. They brought us some water, which was really nice. But 5 hours standing in a line, only to be told that the flight is cancelled, go home, and then zero communication for the next 2 days whilst I'm stranded in great city of Dublin, a nice place to be stranded. But With no communication from Aer Lingus, it's pretty wretched.
Now, I assume, just to check, Clive, when somebody gets told their flight is cancelled, the very first thing you do is, the second thing you do is you go looking for a hotel. The first thing you do is you go looking for another flight. Did you try that, and have you tried to book yourself on another flight to California?
Yes, I've done that with Aer Lingus. So I've been on hold for 6 hours, multiple calls. Some of them drop, never getting through, never having a reply to any of my messages. So I've been trying to go through that avenue because obviously they are the ones that should be finding us another flight. However, now I find myself in the airport because the wonderful Delta, and I've got to thank the team there, unbelievable help, really, really nice people, and stark difference between the airlines and the way they're dealing with it and the communication. It just feels, I never write reviews. I am not one to go on any public radio or anything like that to say anything about my experiences ever. This is the first time I've ever written a review and the first time I've ever done this. So it's just been such an excruciatingly wrenching experience that I just haven't been able to stop myself from sharing this. I just have been treated so badly.
It's also surprising given the destination that you were going to, because it's one thing to cancel a short haul flight from the aircraft or the airline's perspective, because they can relatively easily get an aircraft back out to the location if they need to. It's 14 hours to LAX, so you would have thought the jet had to get there whether or not you were on it.
Right. So seeing the jet leave and being told that it was cancelled was... just unbelievably poor communication.
So and you believe you saw the aircraft depart Dublin without you on it?
100%. I have a photograph of the aircraft in the air. The reason I know this is because of the communication directly through the WhatsApp connection to Dublin Airport, the arrivals and departures data, so that you can connect and get text messages or get WhatsApp messages as soon as the flights are departing and arriving. And because there were so few flights flying, literally it was one of two that I saw. The first one had a huge cheer 4 hours earlier, but it was the last one to leave whilst everyone was queuing outside. And then just as I see the communication saying that the plane is leaving through that WhatsApp, which I couldn't believe because I'd just been told four times by Aer Lingus staff that the flight was cancelled. I saw it in the sky.
So you're now out of pocket, I assume, for the Delta flight, for two nights of hotels, for taxis back and forth to the airport, and for whatever per diem costs you would have incurred with food and all the rest of it. Have you any indication that Aer Lingus are going to put their hand in their pocket to reimburse you?
Zero. On top of all of this, I missed my wife's birthday and two of my children's first football matches. So whilst I love having the opportunity to have another Guinness in Ireland, being 8,000 miles away, 8,000 kilometres away from home and missing those things, it's kind of annoying to say the least, holding back some a couple of swear words that I don't want to share on.
Well, we appreciate you for not putting them on air this morning, Clive. And fair play to you for the being so sanguine about the situation. That is Clive, who is about to get himself onto a Delta Airlines jet to get home from Ireland following the schmozzle that he and so many others were involved with after all of those Aer Lingus cancellations.
Thank you very much.
Owen Curry is with us from Air and Travel magazine. Owen, Aer Lingus say an IT failure. What exactly happened?
Good morning, Anton. Clive is right. That flight took off on Saturday, as did all except one of their transatlantic. One of the things they did was protected the transatlantic because they needed to get those flights back in yesterday morning. They would have lost 2 days. It's hard to believe, but some of his colleagues in the queue had a worse experience because Aer Lingus say that was a cloud-based network provider, systems failure, the backup system also failed. It became apparent around 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, and that was, you know, it could have been worse. They got the first wave of flights out, but they were then fighting, not sure when it would be restored. queues building up, checking people in manually. And at 2 p.m., they made the decision to call cancellations on short-haul flights, about 55 flights in all affected. That's about 5,500, 6,000 people. But people, when the system went down, the web wasn't working, the app wasn't working. And one of the things that wasn't working was the ability to retrieve your pre-approval, your ESTA, before you go to America. So people went through Clive's experience, got to the gate and couldn't board. And some of those transatlantic aircraft left half empty. It was nightmares all around, Anton, on Saturday.
There are very few industries as immersed in the need for redundant systems as the airline industry. Surely there should be enough fallbacks in a system like this to prevent this happening.
Yes, well, it wasn't the redundant system. You've just touched it. Some of your listeners will work for Aer Lingus and they know exactly one of the big running debates in Aer Lingus is their back office system, the Astral system, which was cutting edge. One of the things aviation did, Anton, is that they were one of the first to move into technology. Huge advantage at the time, 70s, 80s, early 90s. Then they came to the difficulty and the expense of replacing those and keeping a pace with developments. Some airlines were better than others. This problem that happened on Saturday wasn't to do with that ongoing feud between the app, the website, all the front consumer side, Aer Lingus, and their back office system or their back end computer system. It was just down to their an outside contractor, their web, their cloud system. And when it went, it meant that they actually didn't know who was supposed to be on flights either. So the start of that communication problem that Clive articulated so well was on Saturday. They didn't actually know who were on flights. When it came to Sunday, they proved pretty slow to get up and running. And that's probably the major criticism coming at Aer Lingus this morning, Anton. Things like this happen all the time. A weather event in February could knock out more than 9 or 10,000 passengers. It's really the recovery and the communication and the fact that we had Aer Lingus passengers in 12 cities around Europe whose flights were cancelled had huge difficulty getting any information about that.
And that seems to be the common theme, that people are saying, look, we accept that flights can get cancelled. We accept that.
Exactly.
That's the phrase we keep hearing in Vox Pops. These things happen. And even Clive was saying, look, the queue of people who were standing outside in the sunshine, they were pretty relaxed about the whole situation. But the thing that seems to be driving people up the walls is that Aer Lingus was unable to come out and say what you have just said. We have a cloud-based system. It has fallen over. It'll take us X hours to get on top of it. Go away and we'll be back in touch.
Long-term trend, not confined to aviation, not confined to Aer Lingus, is that we have fewer people to answer phones. That's what the consumer face of big corporations has been doing steadily over the years. So getting in touch with Aer Lingus, my strong advice is go to the web chat, which of course wasn't working on Saturday, and go to direct messaging, which meant that you were communicating on Saturday with people who didn't have access to their own systems. But they're the two key ways to get in touch with an airline. The call center, queue times are about 2.5 hours, or certainly they were last night, and getting through to them is a bit of a drama. Then the retrieval of all the information takes a long, long time. All these organizations have been slimming down the number of personnel, the number of people sitting on seats in their office and moving towards the digital solution, which is great when it works.
How is that acceptable to customers, and how have more customers not voted with their feet? Because the 2.5 hour queue time for the call centres, that's not just a function of crises. If you need to get in touch with the Aer Lingus call centre, depending on what time you make the call, you could be on hold half an hour, you could be on hold 45 minutes, you could be on hold an hour and a quarter, and that's just now the accepted norm.
They're not alone in that. I mean, we're a nation that accepts an average 11 hour waiting time in A&E. It is something that no matter what airline you're dealing with, and we saw it during COVID, when you have a weather event, as I say, we didn't even have to wait for COVID. The call center works fine in a nice, busy summer when two flights are delayed or one is cancelled. When you've got a lot of raft of cancellations, the entire system breaks down. The real drama is when you're abroad and people, a lot of people don't have email on their phones, for instance. Emails were going out at 3 a.m. this morning on this automatic, you've been booked on another flight. A lot of people are making their own way home, decided to make their own way home and got zero communications. The way aviation used to work, Anton, is that an airline would cancel a flight. There'd be somebody in a uniform at the desk will tell you, this is your transfer, this is your hotel, this is when the flight is taking off tomorrow. Those are that level of service. Somehow we let it go and we didn't jump up and down probably enough when it was being removed. It's happened to me dozens and dozens of times around the world that I've been, you know, put into a hotel, transferred to it. And my favorite story from this, Anton, just to digress, is when you get Charles de Gaulle closes down, which is quite a regularity with strikes and that, they give you your overnight bag because your bag cannot be retrieved. And in your package is a condom, which is one of the things they supply you with, your toothbrush. So this is normal. They're the services that airlines, traditional airlines around the world have done down the years. And it's all slipped away. What we've seen over the weekend is Aer Lingus passengers more or less being left on their own. And to answer the consumer question that you put in there, it is Aer Lingus's responsibility.
Well, can we get into that in a little bit more detail? Because Aer Lingus's responsibility, one of the things that passengers are saying, and if you look at Clive's experience, Clive went and he tried to book himself through Aer Lingus, couldn't get in touch, and got in touch with Delta. He also booked himself into two hotels because, again, the kind of Charles de Gaulle service that you describe, Aer Lingus didn't book him into two hotels. Now, can he just gather up all of his receipts and say, here you go, Aer Lingus, you owe me 800 quid?
Yes.
And they are required to pay him.
You know, what we've seen over the years, and not just Aer Lingus saying, okay, we'll get you home, we'll put you on another flight, and passengers saying, well, I want to book another direct flight with somebody else, reimburse me for that. We've seen them hum and haw down the years. But the precedent in consumer law is that it's the airline contracted the passenger to bring them from A to B. And if the passenger isn't getting that service and books with somebody else, they're entitled to be reimbursed. It's pretty straightforward. I wouldn't imagine there would be that many difficulties with out-of-pocket expenses.
And in terms of getting those out-of-pocket expenses back, undoubtedly there will be some passengers listening thinking, well, look, if I had such a difficulty trying to get in touch to rebook my flight, if I face into the same kind of difficulty getting my out-of-pockets reimbursed, is there some kind of ombudsman to whom they write and say, here's my issue, go fix it?
Absolutely. And it's a state appointed. It's flightrights.ie. The Commission of Aviation Regulation played a really big part in the whole COVID refunds thing over the last couple of years. They, by the way, are very seriously inundated between all the things that happened with delays and all of that during the summer. I would expect that the first point of call will be Aer Lingus. They will set up a refund scheme, a reimbursement scheme, much as Dublin Airport Authority did for those delayed flights or the flights that people missed earlier in the summer, and that the process will get up and running fairly quickly and will be much to people's satisfaction. Try and get home if you have an alternative and put in the expenses to Aer Lingus. There is some sort of repatriation going on today. Aer Lingus are moving some of those wide-bodied aircraft. Listeners will be familiar with the A330s that are used for transatlantic. They are being put onto some of the routes like Burgas in Bulgaria, or the decision is being made whether to do that to get passengers. You will effectively get two plane loads home on one flight. But that process is a little bit clunky compared with using the network to get home by other means, which a lot of passengers are doing.
One thing referring back to something that you had said earlier on, text saying that LAX flight did leave because it was on the check-in system, which was broken at Dublin Airport. It therefore looked as if it was an official departure, but the flight needed to go to LAX to bring the return passengers home. There were no passengers on that flight to LAX. So that's what you're talking about, the wide bodies. They had to get that A330 out to LA.
Oddly enough, anyone who checked in at Heathrow to transfer through Dublin to get onto the LAX was fine. It came to the retrieval of the pre-flight departure when they're looking for ESTA, all those security clearances that people need to go to America. So we had them half full or one third full leaving. It was just one complication on top of another for Aer Lingus. Not a pleasant place to be. Anyone whose business depends on IT will sympathise with them.
Owen, thank you very much. That is Owen Corry from Air and Travel Magazine. Tech saying, waiting for a reply from Aer Lingus since July 8th after they rescheduled my flight. And I know others are too. And a texter asking, more lateral thinking. Does Aer Lingus still own its own IT or has it been centralised to their owners where BA also had IT issues in recent weeks? Well, according to Owen, Aer Lingus outsources this particular service to a third party. As to whether or not that's done through IAG, one assumes that it is.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.